Let me start with something that would have dominated the news cycle on its own in any other week. The White House declassified an FBI investigation that probed whether Donald Trump was operating as a Russian asset. The existence of this investigation has been rumored and partially reported since at least 2019. The Crossfire Hurricane Origins touched on it, but the full scope of what the FBI examined has never been publicly released. The political implications of the current White House choosing to declassify this now are worth sitting with for a moment.
The timing is not coincidental. The administration has been increasingly aggressive about using declassification as a political weapon. Releasing documents that cast prior administrations or investigative bodies in a damaging light. But this particular declassification is unusual because it involves an investigation of the sitting president himself. The political logic seems to be that by releasing it, the administration gets to frame the narrative. Here's what the deep state was doing to us. Here's the overreach. Whether the underlying documents tell a different story is something journalists are going to be working through for weeks.
The judge dismissing the last January 6th case is equally consequential from a rule of law standpoint. Judge Amit Mehta, and the reporting specifies he did this reluctantly, dropped seditious conspiracy charges against Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes and seven co-defendants at the Department of Justice's own request. This completes the DOJ's unwind of all January 6th prosecutions. The legal question that will echo is whether the evidentiary record supporting those convictions, which were upheld on appeal, was simply abandoned for political reasons, and what precedent that sets for future prosecutorial decisions.
The judge who blocked Trump's funding freeze also made news today, revealing that he has received death threats and what the reporting describes as sinister deliveries. This is a federal judge disclosing that he is being personally intimidated for issuing a ruling. The normalization of that, the fact that this is being reported somewhat matter-of-factly as one item in a dense news cycle, should concern everyone who cares about judicial independence, regardless of where they stand on the underlying policy question.
Vice President Vance's media tour around the Netanyahu meeting is also worth analyzing. He's telling Fox News the Blair House meeting was pleasant but direct and dismissing reports of a confrontation. Simultaneously, he's pushing Congress on anti-fraud election laws and warning about a hypothetical President El-Sayed, invoking Abdul El-Sayed, a progressive Michigan politician, as a motivating threat to get Republican legislators moving. Vance is doing two things at once, managing the diplomatic optics on Iran and Israel, while doing base mobilization politics on immigration and elections.
The Trump motion to block the BBC from accessing financial records is a story that doesn't fit cleanly into any category. A British public broadcaster has apparently obtained a legal avenue to access financial documents that the White House finds sensitive enough to file an emergency motion over. The BBC's investigative journalism on Trump's finances predates his second term, and this suggests those investigations are ongoing. The use of emergency legal motions to block journalism is a pattern. It's also happening with the $10 billion Wall Street Journal defamation suit, which a judge just froze.
Judge freezing that WSJ suit also blocked a deposition of Rupert Murdoch, which is notable. The suit involves coverage that Trump found defamatory. A $10 billion claim against a major news organization, even one ultimately unlikely to succeed, exerts a chilling effect on coverage decisions. News organizations have legal budgets that can be weaponized through discovery and deposition costs even before a judgment is ever reached. The Murdoch deposition block is a procedural win for News Corp, but the underlying litigation remains active.
Senator Sanders' proposal for a $2,400 annual Social Security benefit increase deserves more attention than it's getting today, given everything else competing for airtime. The mechanism is applying payroll taxes to income above $250,000. Currently, the payroll tax caps out at $168,600, meaning high earners pay a lower effective rate than middle-income workers on this specific tax. The CBO has estimated that similar proposals could extend Social Security solvency by roughly 75 years. Whether this goes anywhere politically is a different question, but the policy logic is more straightforward than most Social Security reform proposals.